Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Footy Brains podcast. I started a new series this week. We're actually starting to do a review series from now. So every week on the Monday night, we'll release our review of the previous round and talk through all the fantasy relevant information, injuries, anything that does happen. And we're joined by a brand new co-host in fan of the show and first time, well, host, I guess, Jacinta.
Welcome. Yes, hello, Daniel. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Right, so I guess what we're going to do is I'll probably hand over the hosting duties to you and, yeah, I'll talk a bit more of the stats. So enough of my voice, I'll let you take over.
Taking over from here. All right, so we started off the week with the Roosters versus the Knights. Roosters taking it out with 22 versus 20. Tupanua, 2 minutes of the game and then he was a HIA.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, not much you can do about that. We did call him as a bit of a sell recently, but he's still owned in a lot of teams at the moment. I don't know why people haven't jumped off him. Probably people that are a bit sad over their teams and probably just didn't look at the game afterwards. Like, they probably just gave up on their fantasy teams like a lot of us have, to be honest. But yeah, it's not much you can do. He's definitely a sell and it's going to be rough to get him out of your teams now because there's not really many people you can jump to. Probably looking at cheapies, but we'll go through cheapies when we get to our actual... our normal podcast on Thursday.
Yes.
On Wednesday, Thursday, yeah.
Lovely. The upside of this game, however, was welcome back Crichton. What a game to come back with. What did he get? A 60, 61 was he?
62?
Yeah, 61. Yeah, fab.
Yeah, he's a gun previously. I think he just had he's had a season or two where he's been off the bench, not been playing, kind of just coming back. So, yeah, now that he's shown that he's going to be playing big minutes, although thinking about it, there might have only got 80 minutes again this week because Tupanua was out, but he's still going to be getting big minutes after that game. Looked excellent. Mm. Pretty much a must-have, I'd say, this week. So if you don't have him, he's one to target, especially while he's still under 500k. One to definitely get if you can get him in.
Yeah, and from memory, a lot of it was through his tackles, right?
Yeah, a lot of tackles, a lot of meters through the middle. He did come down a little bit towards the end where he missed a few tackles, but that was when the Knights were pretty much attacking to try to win the game, and they had a lot more momentum towards the back end of that game. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about those missed tackles that he has against him. I reckon he'll be scoring 55, 60 plus from now on, which will be good.
Great. One we've talked about a lot on the pod, we.
You're a regular listener now, aren't you?
We. Terrell May, so 71 this week and played 50 minutes and scored, 71. What are our thoughts on what we're doing here?
Yeah, I mean, you'd still hold him. Like, you're not going to get rid of him after a 71, but it's worrying that his minutes are dropping, but then again, his work rate kind of picked up, so I think, you hold him for now. You see how he goes. You see what happens with his minutes. But, yeah, I'm not worried, really, with Terrell May. He still should be scoring pretty well. Even if he goes back down to scoring 50s, I still think you probably hold him anyway. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about Terrell May.
So, why would he have had that 20 minutes last round, but then back to 50?
To be honest, I have no idea. Robbo kind of just does his own thing. And they really needed him last week as well. I don't know why he only came on in the second half. It was kind of a strange substitution decision. So, yeah, I think it's just a one-off and he'll be fine.
Back to 50?
Yeah, he should normally have about 50-ish minutes in him most games. When he plays more minutes, I mean, you're probably cheering. Normally it'll be because Lindsay Collins gets injured or Hargreaves gets injured or something like that. But, yeah, should expect at least 50 minutes from him most weeks.
Great. Any other thoughts on this game before we move on?
I mean, the obvious, Caelan Ponga killed it. Kai Piss-Paul killed it. The good news is that Brendan Smith played a lot of minutes in that game with no real bench. They had Zach Docker-Clay, who only played, I think, 10-odd minutes, but he still was on the field at the same time as Brendan Smith, which was good news. So if for Smith owners, he's looking like he's going to make a bit of cash after getting a good 65-point score there.
Still your boy.
Absolutely. I'm happy I brought him in round one this time.
Great. All right. Moving on to the next game of the round, which was the Storm versus the Bulldogs, 14 to the Bulldogs, 16 to the Storm. I didn't have a lot of notes on this one, other than the painful 19 from Hutch, which I definitely felt in my team. And Pap, I just feel like with Pap, I'm waiting for him to hit.
It's funny because he, especially if you've played fantasy when he first came in, after Drinkwater went down with an ACL, Pappenhausen came in that year and absolutely killed it. He was in everything, scoring 50s pretty much regularly. I mean, he scored a 48, so it's not really too much to be down about, but the fact that he doesn't have the goal kicking does hurt quite a bit. Like, his scores would generally jump to 60, but alas, he's not going to get the goal kicking unless Meany's injured. Pappenhausen, I wouldn't be too worried. He'll still, you know, score 45, 50 plus on a good day. On an even better day, when he starts to score some tries, he'll go, you know, 60 plus. So I'm not too worried about Pappenhausen. He'll keep ticking along. And I don't think you really sell him at all at any point in time, to be honest. He's probably one of your gun winger fullbacks that you want in your team.
Yep, definitely. He's in my team, but I was just hoping for the Pap of the olden days to come back.
I don't
back
think it's
going
to come back unless Meany's out, unfortunately. But I guess with Hutcho, what, he's a sell now? I don't think he's making much more cash. Break even of 38 in this round. He's, yeah, one to definitely offload this week.
Definitely. Some interesting top scorers in this game as well. Josh Adakar, 87.
Yeah, hat-trick. Killed Warbrick on his wing. To be honest, he was, yeah, dominant. Another one was Sean Bloor, which we got a few questions about him being a bit of a pod option to go in the back row. And we did acknowledge that, yeah, he's a good pod to get. We knew that he's got big scores in him. The problem is Joe Chan, and whether he comes back into this team takes some minutes, but I think after a score like that, if you've got Sean Bloor, you're pretty happy that you picked him up. For those that don't have him, you can get him this week. I think this week, depending on the team list and who's named, is probably your last week. As long as Joe Chan's not on the bench or there's no Nass or someone like that that can take minutes from him, Bloor's a great pod to pick up in the back row.
Yeah, great. Anything else on this one?
Josh Curran, 54 on an edge, is very good for him while Preston is out. I think Preston's coming back in the next couple of weeks, though, so he'll probably revert back to the bench, Curran. But, yeah, if you've got Curran, goodbye. He's going to keep making a bit more cash. I probably wouldn't even think of him as a cash cow. He's kind of turned into a player that's pretty consistently scoring, you know, 45, 50 plus. So, yeah, Curran's been absolutely amazing so far this season. So, yeah, good on you if you've got him.
Yeah, great. All right, Broncos versus Dolphins, our next game. Broncos demolishing the Dolphins, 28-14. Paddy Carrigan, lovely, lovely man up the top there with a 74. I don't know what you want to say about him.
There's not much more you can say, really. Yeah. I mean, since Haas has been gone, he scored 260s and then followed up with a 70 this game.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Carrigan's just going to keep scoring big until Haas is back. Once Haas comes back, he'll probably drop a bit. Not tons, though. Like, he's still going to pump out mid-50s to 60s every now and then. But, yeah, while you've got Carrigan, enjoy those scores, because when Haas comes back, yeah, it's probably going to drop, you know, a good 10, 15 points.
Yeah. I'm a big Reece Walsh fan, and I just don't understand what is going on. A 34...
Yeah, to be honest, Josh and I brought this up last week. We want him to have a few down weeks just so we can swoop in and pick him up in the next couple of weeks. But the fact that he scored a try in this game and still only managed a 34 is a little bit worrying, especially when you look at his first two scores that he got at the start of the season. Scored 3 tries in 2 games, and I think it was a 50 and a 60. It's a bit worrying that a lot of his big scores come with tries and that this week he got a try and it didn't come with a big score. But, yeah, I think we're just going to have to wait and see with Reece Walsh. His price is going to keep dropping now. He's got a break even of 67. I don't think he's going to hit 67 again this week, so he's just going to be on the watch list. Keep an eye on him because most likely he gets picked for Origin as well. So it's kind of hard to jump on Reece Walsh now when you've got Origin looming in, what, 5-6 rounds time. When they start to sort out the teams. So, yeah, one to watch for Walsh. For
yeah.
Now.
The other one from this game was Hammer's hammy injury.
Oh, yeah.
So he scored a 5, which is pretty concerning with 23% of teams holding Hammer and expecting to be out for about 3 or 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah, he's an immediate sell now. You can't hold on to him at 600K. And it's surprising that he's at that price anyway. Like, I did not expect him to make 50K from the start of the season. Unfortunately, he dropped another 40K this round because of the 5. But, yeah, you've got to jump off him now. Move to another winger fullback or center option that suits your team. It'll be interesting to see who fills in at the back there. Most likely, they probably move Nick Arima to the fullback role, especially with Herbie down. We'll see what happens in team lists, but there might be some potential there for Nikarima. But yeah, we'll wait and see, and hopefully talk to it later this week.
Next round, next game.
Oh, I guess we'll talk about Xavier Willison as well, because he's a bit of a cheapie that has, I wouldn't say surprised people, but we knew that if he got some game time that he would actually score well. Finally gets a good stint, gets a 43 minutes in this game and scores a try, 56 points. He will keep rising in price. Haas is the only obvious player that's going to take minutes off him. When he comes back, he'll, you know, probably reduced to a 20-minute role off the bench, maybe. I think he's still an option, but yeah, we'll wait and see team list to see what happens with Xavier Willison, because yeah, he's gonna, yeah, with a break even of -4, he's gonna keep making cash.
Yeah, great. All right, Warriors versus Sea Eagles, the first draw that we saw go into extra time. What a game.
Yeah, surprising that this didn't end in either side winning. I wish I'd seen this game. I haven't really gone and looked at the highlights yet, but yeah, SJ killing it as usual. DCE, surprising, scored a double, 81. He's had two very big games, DCE, but he's scored tries in both of them and been like featured heavily in attack. So I'm not sure he can keep that kind of scoring up with the 280s. He, you know, once he's stopped scoring tries, he'll probably drop down to maybe your 50s and 60s. But yeah, good value if you've got him in your team at the moment. For Sean Johnson, yeah, this week you have to get him in. Like, he's a player that he's only going to improve now, especially with the Warriors, their form that they're in. I mean, they drew, but at the same time, SJ's featuring in attack. He's doing all the kicking, even the goal kicking. Yeah, he's a must-have in the team, basically. I'm a bit, bit surprised by Chance. Managed a 69, which... very surprising. I didn't think he was going to keep up the attacking stats from last week. Obviously, he features heavily in their attack as well. But yeah, just surprising with the amount of tackle busts and meters he gets at the back at the moment. Like 350 meters is crazy. Like we were surprised by Joey Manu getting 300 meters in the Roosters game. And then Chance comes out with 350 in the Warriors game. So yeah, I'm ruining not picking him up. But at this point at 630K, I don't think you can really. It's a bit hard to get him in, especially considering his scores last year when the Warriors were so dominant. It's very risky jumping on someone whose role hasn't really changed but is scoring better. It's kind of awkward because they have to maintain that throughout the whole season. It's unlikely that he will. But for those that jumped on him, enjoy the ride while you're on it.
Yeah. Just a little statistician's note here as well. SJ has now taken the lead as top point scorer for the year.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
With all the tries he scored.
Yeah.
And goals.
So,
yeah, okay,
fair. Highest scoring player so far in fantasy. I'm hoping he keeps that up. I pulled him into my team this week.
Even with that 26 in round two, he's the highest scoring player.
Yeah, highest scorer so far.
Yeah, get him in.
Yeah.
Must get him in.
And at halftime, he was only on 22 in this game.
Oh, see, that scares me a little bit, to be honest. When you think about that, he was only on 22.
Yeah.
It kind of means he was still going to score, you know, in the 40s or close to 50. But
yeah, but... getting up to an 80. I guess that extra 10 minutes helped him out.
Yeah, oh, that too, yeah. You've got to think about that. And same for the Raiders game, I guess, when we talk about that later.
Yeah. Burbo, 29 and a hamstring injury.
Yeah, immediate sell. Similar to Hammer. I think we haven't got news on severity yet, but he was already getting close to capping out at his price. So, yeah, Burbo's probably one that's out the door again this week as well.
Yeah. Yep, he's currently the most owned player in the league as well.
Yep, so jumping off him will be very beneficial for most people.
Big trade week coming up.
Especially, this is the first week as well that we get three trades instead of two. So to make one extra move this week.
Lovely, we're going to need them. All right, Eels versus Cowboys. I will say, I started watching this game and as an Eels fan yourself, I nearly texted you to say... get ready to cry, because it looked like you were going to get absolutely demolished, but you really picked up your game as the game went on. 27 to the Eels, 20 to the Cowboys. Drinkwater has been doing pretty good. 5 tries in the last 4 games. Got a try this week, 2 try assists and 130 kick meters, but only got a 41.
Yeah, very surprising. Didn't make as many meters at the back. Was probably used more in the like kind of halfbacky type role, like one-off passing. I didn't catch the whole game for this one. But yeah, get wrecked, Josh. Parramatta are the best. And yeah, I think for now we'll just wait and see with Drinkwater, because 41 is a bit disappointing, especially with the try. If you've got him, he's a hold. Otherwise, you're just hoping he drops a bit of cash at this point, because he will be a pretty good buy around the Origin period, won't get selected, and the Cowboys will rely on him a lot in attack. So yeah, one to just watch for now if you don't have him.
Yep, great. Now, the next one here, I don't know how to say this guy's
Dejan Arcee. Yeah, very interesting option, especially at his price, playing in the halves. The problem with Arcee is he doesn't do a lot of the kicking. Like, they're sharing it around a lot at the moment, so Arcee will get about 150, 160 odd metres. Dylan Brown will get about 160 to 200 kick metres, I'm talking about here. And then Gutho will also do a bit of the kicking. So they're sharing it around a lot, which sucks, because I really wanted those to go to Brown in the first place. But that's why Moses was such a good halfback, because, you know, he'd get 400-500 kick metres a game doing all the kicking for Para. So the fact that they're sharing the kick metres around is a bit concerning for Arcee, and 5 missed tackles is also worrying. But did have a try in that game. Not one that I'm going to go for, but yeah, it's one to, I guess, keep an eye on if he becomes a decent price and Moses is out for a longer period of time.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him. Is he a new recruit, first time coming in, or is he coming back from time off?
So he's been in and out of the team now since leaving the Cowboys, I want to say. I think he came from the Cowboys to Parramatta in the first instance as well. But yeah, he played in the centres for a little bit last year, plays in the halves. He's kind of like a Mr. Fix-It type role. He'll jump in wherever he's needed for Parramatta. So yeah, not one that's going to have a regular role in this team unless someone like, you know, Moses is out for longer periods of time.
Yeah, okay. That's all from me on this game. Anything else of note?
Not hugely noteworthy, but I mean, players like, you know, Cotta, you're holding on for longer. Lussick, a lot of questions about him. He's just going to be a hold now. He makes tons of tackles through the middle for Para, and he's playing 80. Hands wasn't even named on the reserves last week. So Lussick is probably the player that they're going to play at hooker going forward. So you're holding him until he caps out, which should be, you know, if he averages 50, should be at around the 650k mark-ish.
If you don't have him, are you bringing him in now?
No. If you don't have Lussick, you're not bringing him in at any point now. But yeah, if you've got him, he's just going to be a hold on your bench and should make some good cash over the next couple of weeks, as long as he, you know, keeps playing 80 and keeps making tackles.
Great. Rabbitohs versus Sharks. Before we even get to the game, Demetriou safe for now, despite the loss.
Yeah. JD holds on to his job, which is surprising after all the, you know, Mal Meninga news last week and, you know, all the random news about him only having 80 minutes to save his job. Obviously, it's all just speculation and trying to, you know, drum up some interest in the media. But yeah, it's definitely got pressure on him, especially after that, after the presser where he walked out on it because of all the questions about it. So yeah, there's always going to be pressure there. It's going to be pressure for the next couple of weeks, but luckily they've got the bye this week, so he doesn't have to worry too much about it.
Yep. Your boy, Iro.
Yeah,
80 minutes. Great. Good on him. Is he keeping his spot?
That's the question everyone has been asking for the last 2 weeks.
Get the crystal ball, Daniel.
Yeah, at the moment, I think he is. Like, he played well. Talakai was okay off the bench, but it looks like he's just filling that forward rotation role at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see the team list. So if some of the, you know, Sharks forwards do come back into the picture, what are they doing with Talakai? Is he going to be on the bench? Are they going to drop him? Are they going to put him back into the centres? Does Iro lose his spot? All questions that I'd love to be able to answer, but we're going to have to wait till Tuesday to see how the Sharks line up.
Yeah. I took a bit of a blow with this one. I'd captained Hines, as I'm sure a lot of people would, with Cleary out, and a 53, which is hurting my heart.
Yeah, disappointing. Yeah, not much more I can say about it. I mean, it's kind of, if it happened to you, I mean, at least it happened to 16% of the other teams as well, so it happened to quite a few people. But yeah, I wish I had SJ, wish I captained him.
Yes.
Pretty much. All the other people that I put in our captaincy post, by the way, instead of Hines, scored close to 80. Carrigan scored 74, Manu scored 79, and yeah, Johnson with the 80. So yeah, Hines just wasn't the one, unfortunately.
Wasn't our week.
But this week, the last two games Hines played against the Cowboys, he scored 2 scores in the 90s. So
yep.
Probably going to carry the C with him again this week anyway.
Yeah. Talk to me about Dean Hawkins.
Yeah, it's
I noticed he had 500 kick meters.
Yeah.
Which seems outrageous.
Huge. So, obviously, Lachie Ilias has gone. Hawkins has come in. That is a pretty crazy stat, but he did have 500 kick meters as well in round four. It's kind of hit and miss with Hawkins. He needs attacking stats to score well. His base, though, is not too bad, around the mid-30s, but the Rabbitohs, the way they are at the moment, out of form, not doing well, bottom of the ladder, you can't really buy into that at the moment, especially with the amount of missed tackles he makes. It's just too risky, way too risky. If the Rabbitohs were in form, you know, top 18 kind of quality, Latrell was at his best, sure, I'd jump on him, but at the way they are now, it's a bit too hard to go on to Dean Hawkins. Great draft option, though. If you've got a draft league going, pick up Hawkins, chuck him on your bench. He's a good good stash play for now, and you can chuck him in at a pinch.
Great. That's all from me on this game. Anything else you're picking up?
Ken McInnes playing 80. Definitely a good play. He didn't play 80 this week, which was a bit surprising, but he still managed to score well. That is very encouraging if you're a Cam McInnes owner. So I'd be holding on to him for now, as his price keeps continuing to go up, but wouldn't be looking to buy him at the moment, especially with his minutes fluctuating.
Yeah, lots of base stats in there, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Tigers versus the Dragons. My notes say, nothing to say.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. The Dragons got ahead in this game, pretty much stayed ahead. Like, there was some flashiness from the Tigers here and there, but nothing crazy. Dragons pretty comfortably ended up winning this one. I guess fantasy options, I mean, what did you have to talk about? There's not too much,
Jack,
right?
Jack Bird, like, with a HIA, is that going to impact the team at all?
Not really. I mean, they'll slot someone else in there, probably Tom Eisenhuth or something, because it looks like he's just kind of moving into the team wherever he's needed. Yeah, I wouldn't be looking at Jack Bird at the moment. He looked really good coming into this season, Jack Bird, and so far he hasn't really provided much. It's really been Lomax that's providing the most in attack, but I could see jumping on Jack Bird if he starts to, well, even if he moves into the back row, you know, starts to get more involved in attack even, then he could be one to jump on. But for now, I'm just going to keep watching his price drop, and hopefully maybe next season he moves to the back row or the forward pack and becomes a buy or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, there was nothing really jumping out at me here. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing crazy, right? Like, we're talking Kamanu. I know people love Big Steph. He's been scoring so well recently. Scored a 50 in this game with a try. If you bought him, that's kind of worrying. But, yeah, I'm not probably going near him because he's just going to fluctuate like this, right? Like, he'll get a game like last week against the Dolphins where, you know, plenty of tackle busts, has a line break, whatever, scores a 70. But then he'll have, you know, a game like he did in the first round where he just doesn't do much, makes some tackles, and that's it.
I feel like there's a lot of good options around that 700k in the mids that are a lot more reliable than he is.
Yeah, I mean, Cotter is around 700k. Yeah. I'd much rather have Cotter in my team than Stefano. So, yeah, it's probably one that I'm not looking to go at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's pretty much
that's it.
Yeah.
And then finishing up the round,
what a game, eh?
What a game. We were at the game, and it was the best game I've seen. Oh, the best finish to a game I've seen,
absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely.
Raiders taking it out in extra time with a field goal, ending on 21-20 with the Titans. And, yeah, about 7 minutes to go. Titans down 10 points. People were leaving. Game was done. And then the action just came in from there. It was great.
Yeah, it was what Brimo pretty much brought up the Titans when he moved to fullback because Campbell had that knee injury, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, looked very good. Brian Kelly got into the action and then everyone booing him and doing the Viking clap right on the buzzer to try to put him off, and he just nails it as well from the sideline. It was actually very entertaining, and I feel bad for everyone that left that game before the full-time whistle.
Yeah, absolutely. So should we start with Campbell, the knee injury?
Yes. So I guess there's not much news on it at the moment, but from watching it, it looked very innocuous. He was going back to recover a ball that was kicked in behind and just pulled off behind the play, the ball, or behind the goal line, and the trainer was tending to him. Looked like he just tweaked his knee a little bit. Saw some news that apparently he was bringing it into the game as well. If you've got Campbell, you're just waiting to see team lists and what news comes out, but it didn't look great to me. And then when Brimson moved to fullback, they looked a lot better, the Titans as well. So two things that probably don't look likely that Campbell will play fullback this week.
And I think it was a knee injury he was carrying into the game as well had flared up again. So not looking good there. Jolliffe.
Yeah, Jamin Jolliffe had a huge line break through the middle to score that their first try. Josh and I have been kind of talking about him for the last couple of weeks, that he might be one that the benefits from Tino being out. It's just his minutes haven't really come along. The first glimpse we got was last week when he got 58 minutes. This week he got 67 through the middle, and he's starting to look like a better option. I just think for Classic, it's not consistent enough for him to be a must-have, but for draft, he's a great buy option, and I'd be looking to get Jolliffe in draft if you can, especially with Tino out. You can risk it in Classic and go him, because his scores since Tino's been gone have been, you know, what have we got? 52 against the Dogs, 49 against the Dolphins, 40 against the Cowboys, which isn't great, but then a 75 against the Raiders. Like, he's kind of averaging around the high 40s, low 50s, and then, you know, every now and then he'll have a big breakout game. It's a bit hard to find consistency with Jolliffe. And I think for the Titans in general, they're struggling to have some consistency at the moment. So probably be a bit risk averse and steer clear of some Titans players for now.
Yeah, he was a beast on the field, though. He was just demolishing everyone in his path.
Yeah, it's good.
Schiller. -5 break even. He's been pretty consistent. 317K and a dual position player.
Yep. You've said a lot of words that are good.
It feels like a great set of circumstances, but are we going in on Schiller?
Nah, I'm still saying no. 5 tries in 3 weeks, 2 tries for a 39 this week as well. I'm not convinced. As soon as he doesn't score a try, he's going to get a 20, maybe. Means he's still got a price rise in him, but it will happen. It's just when, I think, for Schiller. So if you got him last week, ride the price rise as well you can. If you haven't got him, I wouldn't worry about going to him now.
Yep. Another one that I think I'm going to get a similar response on.
Okay.
Cam Pereira. He was a lot of the talk last year around him. Hasn't been here so much, but he was a last-minute addition and scored 2 tries in this game. Do you think there's more on the horizon for him this season?
No. I think, he can score tries. The problem is he just doesn't get the ball in space often enough, and especially with the Titans' form, he's not going to get it in space regularly. The best thing that they did in that game was just kick it in behind and let him sprint past Schiller to get the ball. Like, that's all they needed to do for him to score a try was just to let him run, and they scored off it pretty consistently. Like, they passed him the ball in space and he scored a try. Like, last year, they worked so well to get him the ball in space and they were scoring, whereas this year, they just haven't used him right. Like, I'm just not sure that they're using the players that they have well. Like, we didn't see Fifita at all that game when we're watching it. He didn't seem like he had an impact at all if you're watching that live. I don't know how it was watching it on TV, but yeah, there's just certain players that are just not getting the best out of. Even Brian Kelly, he's a gun when he gets around the ball often, so I wouldn't be going near Camprera after that long spiel.
Yep, fair enough. I felt like that was coming my way.
Yeah.
Now, Foran, he played 90 minutes, heaps of try assists and kick meters. Do you think that this is something we'll still see from him with Campbell potentially out of the team for a little while?
Foran, so hard. Look at those kick meters at half. So obviously, Tanner Boyd is the big question for Foran. If Tanner Boyd comes back into the team, he loses all those kick meters and pretty much goes back to being not relevant. But while, you know, Foran is their halfback, that interests me. 600 kick meters and 30 tackles is huge from Foran. Little bit of interest there, especially at under 400K. I'm going to wait and see team lists, and then I might have to discuss it with Josh and see all the questions flood in about Foran. But, you know, he hasn't previously been fantasy relevant, but since he's got, now getting that many kick meters, that makes him fantasy relevant. So, one to consider, but we'll wait and see team lists for sure.
Yep. My only other point on this was Fogarty is shaping up to be a real gun this season.
Yep.
He's kind of his season to come out of nowhere, for me anyway. Origin, I think he's eligible eligible to play for Queensland.
Yeah, he's not going to play for Queensland.
He's not getting picked?
Nah, I understand he's a great halfback. Like, he's steering the Raiders around so well now that he's been given that main responsibility. But you've got DCE, you've got Munster at the Maroons team that have been there for the last 7-8 seasons steering them around. They're not going to change that combination up. He might get a bench spot because he has played a bit of hooker before Fogarty, but I don't see him breaking into this Queensland team at all.
Great. Does that make him a half that you're going to be looking at to get into your team pre-origin instead of a Cleary, a Hines?
Yeah, good question. I think if you don't have Fogarty already, you probably aren't going to go him, and you'd probably go for an SJ instead, because you know he's definitely not going to play Origin. But I think at that price, Fogarty's a bit out of reach at the moment. Mm. And if I'm spending over $770K to get a gun half in, I'm probably going to go for Sean Johnson at a little bit more, worth a little bit more cash to get in than Fogarty at the moment. Raiders have been very good this year, but they definitely are a team that succumbs to some rough patches here and there. So, yeah, I'm not confident that Fogarty can keep 60-plus scores up for the rest of the season.
Fair call.
Especially when you consider they played an extra 10 minutes as well in this game. So there's also the inflated scores from that as well.
Yep, absolutely. That's all from me on the Raiders and the Titans game. Anything else?
No, I think Brimson, I did have a little look at Brimson. Obviously, team lists pending, but Brimson will be an interesting one if he does play fullback, under 500K, scored a 46, and a lot of his stats came from that last 10 minutes when he was at fullback. So, yeah, I guess it's just pending Jaden Campbell news, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, great. Now, we've got a new segment that we're going to be introducing. Called Try or Try Harder. So your try is the thing in your team that you are the most proud of that really brought it home for you. And your try harder is something that maybe you want to try harder next time and get it right. Daniel, can you tell me your try of your team this week?
My try of my team, which I think is going to be similar to yours, is the trades that I made this week. I'm pretty happy with last week. I'm pretty happy that I got Crichton in. He's definitely my try. The fact that I got him and Iro in, yeah, obviously greatly improved my team. I jumped another 10K rank, which is nice considering how far back I am at the moment. But yeah, thank God I had Crichton in my team because, yeah, he's going to just keep rising in cash now and it's going to be harder and harder to fit him in going forward.
Yep, mine was the same. I got Crichton and SJ in this week. So another 140 points that I wouldn't have had because I subbed out Chan and Cleary. So 140 points straight into my team. Went up about 10-15K in the ranks.
Very nice.
Try harder next time, Daniel. What are you going to try harder on?
Look, I've got so many of these kind of low point, just slow cash building players in my team that I'm very upset about because they're eating into my points. Like the potential scores of my team are just brought down by the players that I have, like Sam Hughes playing, you know, Jamin Salmon. I've got Jaden Hunt in there because I didn't have enough cash to get a better cheapie in. Danny Levi, Berber, you know, all these players that you think are going to make a bunch of cash and just are just absolute plotters, scoring 20s and maybe 30 if you're lucky. They're just killing me at the moment. I need to try a lot harder next year to get rid of these kind of players.
Yeah. My try hard has been my captaincy, I think. Most weeks I've picked probably the worst option that I possibly could and lost out on hundreds of points over the season. I captained Hines and I had about 5 players who did better than him. My boy Tarpany got a 68. I would have happily, I've done him as a pod captain in the past and it bit me, but this would have been the week. So I think I'm going to stop taking the safe option on my captains and go a bit rogue maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point as well for people that are, you know, back in the ranks, like 20-30K plus. You probably need to go a bit rogue and a bit out there for your captaincy options. Obviously don't go insane, you know, don't captain a center like Strange or Iro on an off week, but like, you know, like Manu last week, the fact that he was at fullback, we know he scores well at fullback. I think he averages in the low 60s. I put on the post on Instagram that he scores at fullback. So those kind of options where the stats are behind them and they're in the right position, playing against the right team, you just kind of have to pull the trigger and go with your gut with those kind of picks.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for joining us for the first
review pod, I guess.
Yeah, first review pod. And first time with me as one of the members on the pod.
Yeah, thanks, you did great, Jacinta. Well done.
Thanks. Hopefully I'll be invited back next week.
Absolutely. We'll do this again every week from now on. And yeah, good luck with your trades this week. And yeah, I'll leave the catchphrase for Josh to do during the next pod. So
great.
We'll have to figure out what we do as a roll off for this pod.
Yeah, I'll get the thinking hat on for that one.
Yeah, get all brainstorming. Right.
Bye.
See you guys
now.
Next week.
Bye.